You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, we got the state, we got the national, covering down on all of the issues, solid conservative and just plain right. Time now, 2:06 p.m. It is Thursday. We're in that little twilight zone period there between hump day and Friday, but it's still Thursday. And all right, let me jump over to my comments for the day, my opening monologue here. I've told you before that at the onset of the global war on terror, I got to Afghanistan real early, right? So it's like for nearly all of 2002, like I said before, my team, we lived among the Afghan people in the northern province of Kunduz. We didn't live on a base. We lived among the Afghan people. So we grew beards, ate their food, drank their tea, and drove old Toyota trucks and sometimes rode horses. It was a true cultural immersion in what the Army classically called an austere environment. But as a result, I saw and really felt far more of the culture of the Afghan people than 99.9% of the U.S. troops in the entire theater of operations. And one of the things that I saw firsthand was the manner and means by which people who had literally nothing could create something. I mean, if they needed it, they made it, or grew it, or they did without. I mean, it was crazy at times to go into a dirt floor bazaar and find jewelry and handmade rugs being sold right next to goats and naan bread. And then two stalls away, some old Afghan guy would have just the right part to repair your Toyota truck. The Army could never figure out how to get us mail or resupply of gear, but Habib in the rural bazaar could get me the very best alternator at the very best price. It was amazing. Well, one of the things that really struck me, though, was how the Afghan people built their homes. Everything had bricks, but there were two kinds. There were mud bricks and fired bricks. I mean, technically, they were both made from mud originally, but one was the best kind. Fired in a kiln and likely to last for a whole generation, while the other was just made with dried mud shaped to form like a brick and then replaced periodically as they eroded in place. One particular day, soon after we got in country, I saw a huge plume of dark black smoke coming from the southern edge of town. Everything in my mind then had a wartime posture, and my assumption was something had gone wrong, but my interpreter told me not to worry. "No problem, sir," he said. "It's a good thing. They have fired up the brick kiln. They're making fired bricks again." Why would they ever not make fired bricks? Well, the short answer was because the Taliban were such Neanderthals, they shut down much of what runs society. If they needed bricks, they didn't bother having somebody fire up the kiln. They tore down someone's home or their business or a school, and they reused those bricks. So when the black smoke rose into the sky for days, it was a sign of new beginnings, if you will. And at one point, I was down there near that area, and that massive handmade kiln, big as a house, was just belching smoke. And the workers would literally dig up massive amounts of soft brown moon dust dirt that blanketed all of Afghanistan. They'd add water, make a big patch of mud, pour the mud into brick forms, lay them out on the ground for several days to generally kind of harden in the sun, and then thousands of these half-finished bricks would be loaded into the kiln by hand and stacked up high. I mean, like, I'm talking like 30 feet high. And then the fires would be stoked up, and they'd be baked at some unreal temperatures. And once the kiln had cooled down, the bricks were stacked into makeshift pallets, and the whole process repeated. But the thing is, if you were poor, you had to use simple, non-fired bricks for your home, just mud bricks. And for what I understand, most of the manual laborers who made the good fired bricks were paid so little, they likely lived in basic mud brick homes themselves. So basically, they were able to see the best product every day, but having to do without it because it was out of their reach. They had everything it took to make themselves the best brick house on the block, but instead they watched the good fired bricks get carted off in jingly trucks and mule wagons every day. And occasionally they could get seconds, the defective bricks that were cracked or missing a corner, but, you know, it's as if their lot in life was too often predetermined, at least in their minds. Well, I'll be honest, and here's where I switch gears. I'll be honest, that whole thing about making mud bricks or fired bricks, well, it reminds me of the Biden energy policy. Stay with me here. We have the capacity to make our own energy. We know we can. But instead, we let ourselves become absorbed in the idea that somehow we shouldn't. So we watch as other nations build their capacity, and we act like the poor brickmakers who are just willing to settle for seconds. The difference here is that unlike the poor brickmakers who can't afford the good bricks themselves, the decision for the United States to be on the low end of the energy spectrum is a self-inflicted wound. You may recall that just 2 years ago, we were humming along with the U.S. energy sector booming. Prices at the pump were manageable, and we were net exporters to other nations. And when we get to the point that we don't need OPEC oil anymore, then they know they have to bargain with us, right? And world oil markets sell at more reasonable levels because the United States is the big game in town. But just like the Taliban shutting down the brick makers, along came the Biden administration and set to work to immediately make known that the U.S. was going to go green and that oil and gas were not welcome commodities, at least not if they were manufactured domestically. But if you recall, the Taliban didn't stop needing bricks. No, they just pirated the existing buildings and left them in a devastated position. Sort of like Biden realizing he actually does need oil and gas, and yet he won't allow for the buildup of our domestic market. So instead, he chooses to pirate the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and literally drain 180 million barrels from it. Then there's the poor souls who make those bricks, but they can't get them for themselves, where my analogy still holds, as Biden went hat in hand to Saudi Arabia recently. After calling them an international pariah, of all things, and asking them to please, please increase your production, theirs, their production, not ours. In the last few days, though, the Saudis sent words that not only would OPEC not increase their production, but instead they will actually be reducing it by upwards of 2 million barrels a day. By doing so, they have effectively negated any supposed effect of Biden flooding 1 million barrels per day of prepaid oil from our reserves into the market. So what does the Biden administration do? Do they recant their positions and move America back toward energy independence? No, not for a second. The response thus far from the Biden administration and Democrats in general has been shock, indignation, threats. What? No help from OPEC? Outrageous. We will take action. We'll bring sanctions. We need their oil. We can't be treated this way. Well, let me ask you something. What incentive was there for Afghan brickmakers to make fired bricks when the Taliban weren't going to pay them fairly anyway and they were literally dumping old bricks into the market? Likewise, in the big picture of the energy sector, what incentive is there for OPEC to ever increase demand and lower their profit margins when Biden is flooding their market with cheap reserve oil? And never mind the absolute hypocrisy of Biden's administration trying to shame and defame the U.S. energy sector and yet reeling in disbelief and horror when other countries won't just drill, baby, drill, because we need it. Ask yourselves, how did we become the poor brickmakers? How did the U.S. become the country most capable of bringing everything to bear to benefit not only our own domestic needs, but to lower the price of energy across the globe by simply continuing our own production, but yet we won't? And so we go home at night to our simple mud brick houses, wondering if we'll ever get to be the best of the best again. Well, hang on, folks. The midterms are coming, and I'm hoping we're going to fire up those kilns. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I thought, you know, okay, I'm gonna be a bit dicey here when I say Taliban and Biden administration the same theme, and I know it. I know it. I know he's not the Taliban. I get that. But the analogy still holds true. The Taliban tore down a society. They did away with one of their biggest assets. They shut down a piece of the economy. And then they went and pirated pieces they needed from other things that pre-existed instead of making the new. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like our energy sector right now? Yeah. Yeah, it does. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I want to thank Jenny from Decatur, who has, on the text line, has actually sent me some. She found out that my granddad went to Auburn back in the early 40s and went straight from Auburn to World War II. And she found pictures of him in an old yearbook and sent them. How cool is that, Boomer? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I mean, that
cool.
was so thoughtful. I really appreciate that. Actually, Jenny, if you're listening, I actually just sent one of them to my mom, and it just blessed her. So that was very cool. Also, coming right off of that monologue I just did about the energy sector and the fact that Biden's trying to dismantle it, top headline right now, this very minute, on FoxNews.com, apparently Saudi Arabia, when it was learned they were going to cut production, Saudis are now saying that Biden's administration contacted them and asked them to please hold off until after the midterms. Wow. Total politics. Some would call that quid pro quo. Like, oh, we need this. It would be good for us. Do that thing, please. Yeah, okay. Hey, I got a caller on the line, Boomer? I do, yeah. Line one, Julia from Huntsville. Hey, Julia, how you doing?
Hi, Phil. Pleased to speak with you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to say the Biden administration shouldn't be so mad at OPEC and the Saudis for cutting production. They're just trying to follow the Green New Deal.
There you go. I mean, isn't that hypocrisy when they yell at everybody domestically and tell them to shut down what they're doing and they want them out of here, but they're demanding the Saudis drill some more? Isn't that crazy?
It is, yes.
That's good insight. you're spot on, Julia. All right. Have a great day.
It was pretty comical.
It is pretty comical. All right. Take care, Julia. Just another example of how cool our audience is. She's right. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty of stuff on tap right now. I will tell you this. The text lines are open. You want to text? The text lines have been going bananas lately, too,
like,
man.
Crazy.
Like Boomer and I can hardly keep up. We take turns trying to answer the text messages. Sometimes they're, you know, direct messages for one of us, or they're responding to something we're talking about. But you want to text in or call in, for that matter, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Jeremy from Huntsville just said, yep, we're talking about quid pro Joe. There it is. Yes, we are. What do we have? Kimball from Harvest says, the Taliban have their own extremist ideology, just like the socialist movement growing here in America. They care nothing for America like the Taliban care nothing for Afghanistan. They just want power and are willing to sacrifice whatever is expedient to secure and maintain that power. Great monologue, Phil. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Kimball from Harvest. And then, anyway, we get comments like that kind of stuff all the time. But I love it. And the first section we're going to do, by the way, it's going to get some people mad. Okay. Well, there you go. Got to love them enough to make them mad, right? So the first section we're going to do with the Triple Dipper here right after the break, race baiters and charlatans. It amazes me how we are told constantly the United States is systemically racist, but they have to create the racism for us to see it. That's what's amazing. And then when you get down to it, it's also amazing when the racism is being perpetrated by the left, when they're the ones trying to say that we're systemically racist. How does that work? You get to create more of the issue so that you can claim that it, by the way, do I know racism exists? Yes, racism is real. Racism is wrong. Racism is has no place in modern society, period. So I get that it exists. Are we systemically racist? No. And that's something that I'll adhere to. Well, I'm going to walk down the line on some of this stuff, race baiters and charlatans. How much time we got before the top of the hour there, Boomer? Do we have time for a call right now before we go to the break? We do? What do you think? Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan from Madison, how you doing, bud?
Oh, now you got me a sports logo. I like it. I prefer the latter. I prefer that one because, you know, all about my amazing blue, brother.
All right, Dan. Hey, we got about 40 seconds for the break. What you got?
All right, real quickly, it doesn't surprise me that Snake in the Grass in Washington, D.C. doesn't get in the same basket with those sleazeballs over there with their oil. And also, one more thing. I keep getting almost a heart attack when I see my 401ks and my investments and looking at it. God, I'm getting hammered.
Yeah.
Bring this country back. Get rid of this guy. Put the other guy back in.
I'm for it, Dan. Appreciate you, brother. Music's playing. Gotta go. All right, folks, we're coming right back. Oh, it's going to be a good one. Race baiters and charlatans, number one of the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.